Last year, I had the opportunity to list my Montecito guest house on Airbnb. This was part of a special project that Airbnb spearheaded to build connection and to make the world feel a little less lonely. It was such a pleasure to get to know my Airbnb guests over dinner and share my home with them so that they could rest and recharge on their trip. But typically, the beauty of hosting on Airbnb is that while you're away, someone else can get as much joy from your home as you do. Being a host on Airbnb is great for those who travel frequently, have extra space, or own a seasonal home. If you've stayed at an Airbnb, you know the unique experience it offers. And now you can share that same experience with others in addition to earning additional income on the side. To learn more about hosting on Airbnb, head to airbnb.com/host.
When you are pioneering anything or introducing new ideas to the culture,
you get criticized.
You do?
Yeah. Did you hear about that?
I didn't find the one. I found someone I respected and we made it the one.
In a sort of longing kind of view of love, people understand each other as if by magic.
Nothing in itself is addictive on the one hand. On the other hand, everything could be addictive if there's an emptiness in that person that needs to be filled.
I now know that nobody changes until they change their energy. And when you change your energy, you change your life.
I'm Gwyneth Paltrow. This is the Goop Podcast, bringing together thought leaders, culture changers, creatives, founders and CEOs, scientists, doctors, healers and seekers, here to start conversations. Because simply asking questions and listening has the power to change the way we see the world. Here we go. My guest today is Kourtney Kardashian. I'm excited to share this conversation for a few reasons. We recently teamed up with her lifestyle brand Poosh to create a special limited edition version of our infamous vagina candle. It's called This Smells Like My Pooshy, and you can check it out on goop.com. Today, Kourtney and I talk about her roots and the foundation that shaped her life before she and her family ever appeared on television. We talked about the moment that Kourtney regrets being filmed, what she learned in the process, and how she stays close to herself through it all. Kourtney and I also talked about the early days of Poosh and her principles when it comes to wellness. I loved hearing her perspective about listening to her nervous system and why it's important to give ourselves a break from our rituals every now and then. So let's get to my conversation with Kourtney Kardashian.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. It's been a day. I was gone for 9 days, which is the longest I think I've ever been away from my kids. It felt like forever. It was supposed to be 8 days and then it got extended a day. And then my son is sick, so I'm home with him. And, you know.
How do they cope with you being gone for so long?
They were good. They were with their dad, so I don't feel as guilty, you know, it's not like if they were home with a nanny, I think I would not have been able to leave town or had extreme guilt. I get really intense mom guilt. I don't know about you, but it gets me. Yeah.
It's kind of the upside of divorce, right? That if you go away with your partner, the kids are still with their other parent.
Yeah. I think it's just way less guilt. That's you're right. That's one of the benefits.
Yeah. What do you think mom guilt comes from? I don't know. I have it too. And you just said it and I'm like,
yeah, I was thinking about it today or maybe it was yesterday when I was coming home from the airport and I was thinking, is it something that's because of how your mom is and you want to do things differently or the same or, you know, measure up or do better? I mean, I hear the term so often.
Yeah.
That I also wonder, does every mom have it?
I think every mom finds a way to feel bad about some aspect of her mothering, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Are you the first in birth order?
I am.
You're the first. I also think we bear the brunt, particularly the firstborns, of a lot of the, you know, anxieties of our parents. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. They have a kid and it's you're treating the kid with kid gloves, and their successes are your successes, their failures are yours, in a way that maybe isn't so healthy, right? And by the time, I think by the time people get to their fourth kid, they're like, whatever, you know, and maybe the pressure, the pressure is a little bit less. So I don't always feel like first, especially first girls, we always feel like we carry an extraordinary amount of responsibility, right? Like the sense of like that we have to do everything and hold it all together and be everything for everybody.
Yeah, it's so true. Even like my son, his, you know, even with boys, like I notice, I feel like he has a lot of the same similarities like as I had. And even like, I notice it with like Kim's daughter, like her first, like I'm like, we're so similar, you know, I just feel it. Like there's like a first kid.
It's a thing.
Similarity.
It's totally a thing. And, yeah. And are you and your ex like, is it easy and is it friendly? And
yeah, it's super, super easy and friendly. I feel like I learned from my own parents and just trying to be.
Who got divorced.
Yeah. Just like to keep it, like there's no reason not to be or to at least try or keep it as cool as you can for the kids.
Yeah. I think what I hear from certain friends is that sometimes like if they perceive that there are real deep hurts and injustices, it's like really hard for them to get over and essentially like forgive the father, you know, for and so like for me, I really had to, when Chris and I broke up, like I really, really, really wanted to maintain that sense of family, even though we weren't a couple. And so many kids that I had talked to who were a product of divorce were saying, you know, it was all, it wasn't the divorce. It was the fact that they, you know, weren't nice to each other and stopped laughing.
Or talk like, about each other or like give little like subtle digs and think you don't really notice. Or like also when like friends choose sides, you know, like family friends, like I remember my parents' friends would choose sides, and then it makes you feel like, oh, you don't like my mom, or like, you know, like I would be like, feel some kind of way about them.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I have so many questions for you. I mean, like the place that you and your family hold in the culture is so absolutely fascinating, and like the power that you guys all hold as a collective and the power that you have to shape culture or like move product, like it's just phenomenal. And I wanted to ask you, like, in your mind, how did it happen? Because I know, of course, there was the original reality show, but like, was there a strategy behind this? Was your mom like, oh, I see a template for how to do this? Like, I'm so curious as to...
So my grandmother had a children's clothing store for like 30 years. And she was like the worker. Like my grandfather was mostly like stayed home.
Which side?
On my mom's side. And so she was like the worker. And then I remember after my dad died, my mom was like, I'm going to open a kid's store. It's like a passion. I feel it's like I have to do it. Do you want to do it with me? And I was like, sure. At the time I was building like a styling portfolio and I was doing some styling jobs, but it wasn't like, I don't know. I wasn't feeling super like passionate or fulfilled. And then my mom was like, okay, let's do this together. My mom took me to like the Mart, taught me how to do the buying. I did it. I didn't even have like a real budget. We just would like order like as we felt like we needed or things we loved. And we had the cutest kids store. And then a space, and it was doing really, really well. And we were like the only people in the store.
And where was it?
In Calabasas, where we live. It's so funny. It's like right down the street. And then two doors down, a space opened up. And I was like to my sisters, like, we have to open the store dash, this like a women's store. Like we all love
it. So this is before you're on TV or anything.
Before we were on TV. And then while we were doing that, Kim was styling or not styling, but she would go like, this was her job. Like she'd go to her friends' houses, clean out their closet and fully organize them and like get rid of things that were not cool, and then be like, you should, I think these are some things you should get. And then she
was like the original Marie Kondo.
Yes, of like closets. And so she would also fully organize it, like color organized, same hangers, you know, everything was perfection.
Amazing. That doesn't surprise me about her.
And so then she was doing it for Paris Hilton, and they happened to be filming Simple Life at the same time. And then the producer was so fascinated by Kim and what she was doing, and, you know, just in talking to her. And so she was like, let's shoot something. And then they, in one of the shooting days, they came to our store. And then the producer was so fascinated by the three of us, like me, Kim, and Chloe, and that we had this store and just our interactions with each other and whatever. And then like, they came to like a family day too at the house, and we had a barbecue or something. And then just, it just was like a show. Like,
wow. How quickly did your lives change?
I would say season, like after season three or something. And then Chloe and I remember we were shooting our Miami show. It was like season one. We had like a take spinoff series in Miami, Courtney and Chloe Take Miami. And then that was like when it was really started to be different, but it all happened really fast. Our seasons were like back to back to back. And we were supposed to just be filler. The first season was kind of like, I think a show didn't work out in the final hour and they like needed something to fill the space. And so we did it, and we didn't even really think. And we kind of thought the only like strategy, I guess, like to answer your question, was more like my mom thought, oh, this is going to be amazing for our stores. You know, like this is going to help. Like people will see our stores and they're going to come shop in our stores. And then we ended up having like three dash locations on a website. And then it just, it was never the same if we weren't there. I could make a sale like no other. My mom was like the best salesperson of all time. But like, I was a really good buyer. That was more my strong point. And my mom did like the best windows. We had so much fun, but it feels like a different lifetime.
And I mean, I'm sure there are complications in families because there always are, but it feels like you're really close to your mom and that she's incredibly supportive. What is her legacy as a mother to you?
I think like she instills in us this incredible sense of like celebrating life to the fullest. Like she loves any excuse to celebrate something. She's also instilled obviously an incredible work ethic in all of us and this like desire to, it's almost like a challenge like within ourselves of like wanting to grow and do better. And I think we, you know, we may like measure success differently than each other. Like, I think we're all different people, obviously. But I think it's like this desire to keep like going and stay really motivated. But yeah, like the celebrating life and having fun, I think it's like within each of us, little simple things too, as like the way we keep our homes. Like I noticed so many similarities between us, but I think she lives like such a fabulous life. When I look at her life and all that she's accomplished, and she's had such a beautiful life.
How old were you when your parents got divorced?
I was 11.
11.
Yeah.
And how old were you when he died?
I was 24.
That's so young.
Yeah. I mean, my brother was 16. So, since I'm the oldest.
Right. I was 30 when my dad died. So I got a few.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
yeah,
it's a really tough, well, it's always tough. But I think when you're like, particularly 16 to 24 or 30, like when you're really trying to wire up and become the person that you're going to be as an adult in the world. And
yeah, I think it's like a sense of security. Then it feels like it's like,
yes,
I don't know, even like, not only like financially, but like advice, or, you know, just like so on so many levels.
Yeah, absolutely. It's tough. Had your mom already remarried when your father died?
Yes. And my dad was remarried too.
And did you go back and forth to houses? How did it work?
So we had a schedule, but I really didn't, we didn't have to stick to it. Like our parents were pretty lenient about it. And so I mostly lived with my dad.
Oh, interesting.
I just like, no, because no one was there. I had like alone time. I just liked it. I had more freedom. Like I didn't feel like, oh, it's dinner time, you know, come down at this time and sit with the family. I don't know. It was more like me and my dad would go out to dinner. You know, it just felt different, like just being there alone. And then Kim would spend a lot of time with me there too, because we're 18 months apart. And I felt like she would like to spend more time there too.
What was he like?
Super funny. And then like really loving, kind. He was the more strict parent, but not more strict than most of my friends' parents. He was very like loving and gentle and kind, but like just had rules. Like we had to be home in high school at like 11 o'clock and none of my friends had to be home at 11 o'clock. But he would always say, well, you're playing hard to get. Your people are going to want to hang out with you guys more if you have to be home. So, and he was just big on like teaching us like to be appreciative and that it's not all about money and that like money isn't happiness. Cause I think growing up in LA, it can be hard.
I was going to ask you about that because it seemed like a really specific time in LA when you were growing up.
Mm-hmm. It was like the 90s when we were like in high school.
Oh, I always think you guys are so much younger than I am.
No.
What year did you graduate high school?
97.
Oh, you're so much younger than me. I graduated in 90. Okay, so I see. So like, right. So I grew up.
But yeah, I feel like in we were like in high school, it was like the 90s where we would like started going to like nightclubs at like 16. Or like, you know, we would try to like sneak in places and somehow made it in.
Like, and who were the popular bands? Like who were the rock stars in those clubs at those days?
I don't know. I mean, we would go and it was like, I'm trying to think like people we would even see.
Are these clubs on Sunset?
Like, yeah, like we'd go to like Bar One.
I don't even know. I grew up in New York.
I'm trying to think. I think it's Bootsy Bellows now.
Oh, I know. I've heard about this from my daughter, which don't judge me.
Yeah. It's like across from Boa. And that was like the club. Like my mom used to go there. My dad used to go there. And then it was like Sky Bar on Sunset. So then we would go there. But then I felt like Kim and I would go home and we would go to sleep and we'd sleep at our friends' houses. And then we didn't find out till years later that they would steal my car when we were sleeping and they would go drive our cars around and like go to like after parties until like, who knows
your
what
friends?
Else. Yeah.
Why would they take your cars? Did you have fancy cars?
They didn't have cars yet. Oh. they probably didn't even have their license. Like they were just taking our car, like my car when I was sleeping.
And did you feel like this was a time in LA of excess or entitlement? Like you mentioned kids sort of not having to have jobs.
It was kind of like a brattier, you know, time or people like, I definitely remember growing up in LA, like people, you know, giving you like worth or value a lot by like what you had, or everyone wanted like a designer bag or, you know, things like that, where I felt like it seemed to like mean something. But I think that my parents did a really good job of like balancing it with Kim just always loved to work. The second she could drive, like she had a job and cause she loved buying the stuff for herself. Cause our parents, they would get us like a nice gift for like our birthdays or Christmas. But besides that, we didn't just like have an allowance or a credit card or something that we could just go get whatever we wanted, you know?
So you had to earn the money for it, which is great. Part of the work ethic.
Let's take a quick break to talk about one of our partners.
Tumi has a soft side. Discover their new Acer bag collection in its pillowy pleats, satin finish, and crescent shape. Acer is the bag to carry for your 9-to-5 and the 5-to-9 plans that follow. Versatility, after all, is Tumi's signature. Shop the full Acer collection on Tumi.com or at a Tumi store near you.
Okay, let's get back to the conversation.
So then you guys, you have this upbringing in LA, you end up on this E-series, and then you become super famous. Was that like a shock to the system? I mean, I just think about my own trajectory, and it was like, you know, I had a little part in this, and then one line in that, and then a scene in this, and then no work for, you know, and then, so it was like, and then I got a little part where I got some attention. So it was like this gradual buildup, I think, from about 18 to 22 until I really popped. But at the time I was, you know, understanding the industry and all that stuff. But like, was it a shock to just become famous?
I don't know. It felt like we were around like the life, you know, right, like for so long. And I did go away to college also in between.
For 4 years?
Yeah, for 4.5 years.
Where did you go?
I went to SMU in Dallas for 2 years.
Fun. Okay.
And then I transferred to, all my friends went to University of Arizona. So like it wasn't as great of a school as SMU, but I just felt like I was missing out. So I transferred to University of Arizona and I finished there and I did 2.5 years there. And then I was going to go to law school and I did the LSATs and applied to law schools. And then I changed my mind. Once I was home, I was like, I don't want to go away again for 4 more years. I couldn't imagine it. And so I stayed home. A month after I came home from college, I moved in with my boyfriend at the time. I just like didn't want to leave. I was so happy to be home with my family and then our show. But no, I think it was somewhat gradual because like we started, you know, season one was 12 episodes. Like it was probably like maybe a year and a half in of like slowly, maybe even 2 years. Yeah, probably 2 years in. And then it started getting more like more and more, and then it became like where life had to change at a certain point where like
how,
like I don't know, I think back to our first seasons, like even this is just stupid, but like our hair and makeup, like we used to do our own, and then we started like all meeting at my mom's house at 5 in the morning or something and all sharing like a glam team and like rotating, and then now we each do glam, like as we call it, like in our own houses, and everyone has their own thing. And like security became like a big thing after, like just the way we could move around town, especially with when you have a camera crew there, and like it's very obvious. If a camera's on the street and you're walking out of the car, like everyone's looking like, who is it? Who's about to come out of the car? You know, what's happening? So it just became like a different thing, but like we used to film in our stores, and because that was part of our lives. And then we had to eventually start like locking the door and filming in the store. And then like when we would leave, we'd have to like let a certain amount of people in and then let those people out. And then the next people could come in, like only 5 at a time or something could be in the store.
Because people would rush and want to meet you guys.
Just it would get like, they weren't really there to like,
to shop. They wanted to look at you.
Yeah. And so then.
And is this like, forgive me for not knowing more about how reality television works, but are they really just filming what's happening in your life? Or are they like, hey, today we want to do a scene where, you know, Courtney falls in love with, or like is flirting with someone. And like, how does it actually work?
No, it's like, it's our lives. And there's so many of us. So obviously everyone has really different lives. And what I love so much about this show is like our lives before we had kids, we would sit all together at my mom's house and hang out and drink vodka cranberry and like film. And it was, we had the best time. But then like once like I had kids first, and then I was like, no, I will not glam for 2 hours and sit here anymore. I'm doing 20 minutes. My priorities changed where I was like, I don't want to sit and, you know, do some of the same things that I was doing. So I think that, yeah, like now it's amazing because our show now is so much more like it'll follow me in exactly what I'm doing all day.
And for real, like you're not
No, I haven't felt one time in this season like I've even filmed, because I'm like, it's not any extra time beyond what I'm actually doing.
So do they say like, do that again? We didn't catch you doing that.
No, not really. Maybe like they didn't catch me walking in or something, right, and I okay. have to like go back and walk back in. But like, that's like the most rare. I'm very like, just let me like, you know, live my life and you guys are just here. Like, I like to feel that way. I don't even notice, you know, half the time.
It's super fascinating to me also because I think I grew up at a time and I became famous when there was really no social media. And it was all about kind of mystery and maintaining mystery and don't, you know, reveal too much.
Yeah.
And clearly, like, the paradigm that you guys have created is something that people really want, right? And even me now, even though I'm terrible at social media, like, I do enjoy connecting with people and it's, you know, having those other channels to reach people or talk about stuff. And I think it was hard for me in a way to like open myself up in that way to people because I was raised like, be private, even though I am enjoying certain aspects of it for sure. But like, how do you delineate what's private for you? And like, do you ever feel exposed? Do you ever feel like, God, I wish that wasn't on TV, or I wish I hadn't said that, or I wish they hadn't filmed that?
Yeah, there's like moments. Like there was like a fight with me, Kim, and Chloe, me and Kim mostly. But I was just like, God, like, why does this have to be on television? It's not a, like a proud moment. It was like, we were kind of in different places at the time. I was like, not into filming. I wanted more privacy and just felt like certain things I didn't want to film. And I felt like I had carried such like a bulk of the drama, like for a lack of better words, for so many years that I was just like, I don't want to film anything deep. Like, I just want to come in and I'll have a salad with you guys and, you know, do whatever, like, but I just couldn't take it. And I was like, so yeah, I felt like we were in different places. And then they felt like, is that fair? Cause we're having to share and you're not sharing, or, you know, whatever. And so it just put like a wedge kind of between us. And then, yeah, I just felt every day like we'd see each other on like personal levels. And then when we would come in to film, I felt like there were these little digs all day while we were filming. And I just snapped. And I like, we had a physical fight.
No fucking way.
Yeah. And I was just like,
Who won?
I think I did. You can watch the footage. But I think I did, but I'm small. Like you've seen me, like I'm 5'1" and I'm small. And I just like, there was so much anger and power inside of my body, like rage, that I just lost it. And I scratched her. That's my superpower, is like my nails.
Wow.
Like when we were like in high school and Kim and I would have fights, I would scratch or pull hair. And so I just scratched her, like nothing could control me. And I think she slapped me and I slapped her. It was like, so like wild. And I was like, why does this moment have to be on? But then there's like beautiful moments. My engagement aired last night on our show. And I'm like, it's so incredible to be able to have this, even though I am super private. There's some moments that I just love, you know, to like have that privacy. But what I was going to say too, when you were saying like you grew up in a time where it was like, be private, like hold on to that. And I was thinking, I think one reason how like you were saying, like people like, I think connect to us because they feel like they know us so well by seeing some of our most intimate moments in the world.
Well, that's what I was going to say about a fight. And look, I'm sure that was uncomfortable for you to have something that was that raw exposed in that way. But sisters fight, right?
Yeah.
And people have sisters and people understand the complications of families. And so I bet on some level, you know, it's a relief to see kind of, if you will, the uglier part of a relationship or something be exposed. It's almost like a mechanism for self-acceptance because you're seeing something that's truly real.
Or even for those people that hear you and see you and feel you. I remember when that was happening and so many people would like be like, I'm sure they did the same for Kim, but like that people that heard me and felt my side, like it felt, not that I needed that, but it is like an extra layer of like, oh, someone actually like hears me or sees what I'm going through. But what I was going to say is like that connection or, you know, like people like understanding us and knowing us so well, I think that is part of like the brand. Like that's why I feel like even like with Poosh, like people know me and know that it is my lifestyle. Or even like with Kim, like she loves beauty, like her or shapewear. Like I mean, I've known Kim to like be obsessed with shapewear like forever. I think it makes sense to people when they know us on that level.
It's authentic.
Yeah.
And also it's interesting. It's like what just occurred to me as you were talking, like there's kind of a radical integrity that happens when the truth is out there like that, right? And people know exactly who you are. And then the business choices or the life choices that you make from that place, like to your point, really feel an integrity and feel really authentic. So,
but I think also for so many years of doing it, like we've gone through ups and downs of feeling like, oh, I need to protect myself. I need some privacy. And then to some seasons, like we're feeling like super open and feeling like I'm feeling really happy right now. And like, it makes me feel more open. I think also just like having the separation on this new show where it's not like we all have to be in the same room, like filming together. It's like, no, I'm at my house and this, I'm 43 years old. Like, this is what I'm like, not with my sisters 24/7 or with my mom as much as I would love to be, but it's like, this is my reality. And so I love that that's being captured. Like it just makes me feel happier. Before it felt like an overkill of like filming all day to where like, I don't know, it would feel guilty. Like if we weren't, and I'm like, no, I have to take my kids to school. Like I have to work out. Like these are things like, I don't feel good about myself if I don't do.
Last year, I had the opportunity to list my Montecito guest house on Airbnb. This was part of a special project that Airbnb spearheaded to build connection and to make the world feel a little less lonely. It was such a pleasure to get to know my Airbnb guests over dinner and share my home with them so that they could rest and recharge on their trip. But typically, the beauty of hosting on Airbnb is that while you're away, someone else can get as much joy from your home as you do. Being a host on Airbnb is great for those who travel frequently, have extra space, or own a seasonal home. If you've stayed at an Airbnb, you know the unique experience it offers. And now you can share that same experience with others in addition to earning additional income on the side. To learn more about hosting on Airbnb, head to airbnb.com/host.
You just touched on Poosh, and I'm dying to talk to you about how you got into, I mean, you were saying it came out of a very authentic place of how you live your life. And yeah. I was just wondering how many years have you been doing it now?
We just had our 3-year birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And my sisters and I had these apps before with a company, and like mine was more lifestyle and more curated. And then it just like, we weren't going to be continuing. And a friend of mine, Sarah, who works with me at Poosh, she just kind of came to me and we had lunch and she had so many ideas. And I was like, I love it. Let's do it. And so we did it together. And I think it started more as truly my lifestyle. And then it's evolved into my lifestyle, but I'm also learning. Let's say there's like a new trend, like a wellness trend or hacks or things that we learn from the team, from specialists, from, I mean, it's way beyond just me now and like little tricks or things that I do, which I love because I learned so much from it. as well, or like anything I might be curious about, even if I've never done it before, but I might be like, hey, I heard about this. What do you think? Or, you know, it's just grown into so much more.
It's so cool. I remember when you started it, and this brings me to an interesting point that I wanted to talk to you about. I've said this to you before, but I feel like part of the reason that the patriarchy holds its power is because they create this notion of scarcity for women and competition for women, so that we are kind of programmed to think, oh, there's not enough room for me and someone else, or like someone's going to take my man, or someone's going to take what's mine. And I think we encountered some of that when you launched Poosh. And I found it so ridiculous, because I don't know how you felt about it, but I was like, women are allowed to have interests in the same field and create businesses. And it doesn't have to be that one is going to take something away from the other or undermine the other in some way.
Yeah.
Was it annoying that people were comparing you to Goop?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I knew there was going to be that comparison when we were starting. I think that like something my sisters and I like pride ourselves in is like being like really supportive too of like other brands, companies, whatever, like in the same space, because there's so much room. To me, it's like, it's almost like cool that we can like, now that we like, you know, can support each other too. I feel like I have a different audience than you have. And then I just feel like it's like having that opportunity to like share audiences. It's wellness. It's such an amazing thing that we're both like in this space that's like, to me, like I feel really strongly that it's like doing better for the world. And like, who wouldn't want more of that? So I think like, yes, it was annoying, especially when it happened. And I'm like, ah, it's like wellness. It's a good thing. It's, you know, you're like trying to do like something. And like, I feel like bringing a different perspective as well. I'm sure there's so much overlap too, because it's like the, you know, it's like mine truly started as my lifestyle. I'm sure yours probably truly started as like your lifestyle. So I'm sure there is lots of overlap. Like how, when I saw you, I was like, I just came from Surya Spa, and I knew that you had been to Surya Spa.
Totally.
Like there's, I'm sure, so much overlap. Like how many things are there to do? But it's like, it's just a different perspective.
And I think what it's really about, I don't know, for me, what wellness is really about is like the permission for the exploration of like what's right for you, what feels good for each individual person. And this idea of like the pursuit of optimization and feeling better in your body, feeling calmer in your mind, and approaching things with curiosity and openness, right? It's like, there's a different solution for everybody to feel better in their body or in their relationships. And I love that. I think there is a ton of overlap. And then I love that you approach things in your way. And I love the idea that you're bringing to your audience that permission of like, explore this, ask yourself this question. Like I saw the other day that you posted something about like Travis being someone who calms your nervous system.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I posted a quote of that. I saw my friend, you know, Casey Musgraves.
Yeah, of course.
I love her. And so she had posted in her story, find the person who calms your nervous system or something, or it said like, but do they calm your nervous system or something like that.
Right.
And that just really spoke to me. And yeah.
That is so powerful. Like to be able to drop that idea on your audience, like to, right. To have somebody read that and reflect on what that actually means and to take that in. And you know how many of us in the world are with or living with people that do the opposite of that and living in fight or flight all the time.
Oh yeah, I've had it. It's the most awful thing of life.
It's death.
Yeah.
And so I just love that, you know, because you have such a big audience. So the idea that you could encourage people to tune in to themselves in that way, I just think it's so great. And I'm so happy that you're doing what you're doing. And
thank you.
I think it's fantastic. So will you just tell me, just because I'm curious and if it's boring or too many people ask you this question, you don't have to, but like, what is your wellness practice? Like your daily What does it look like?
Ooh.
Do you meditate? Do you eat a certain way? I know you exercise.
Yeah, I don't meditate. I used to meditate. I used to do TM. I don't do it anymore.
Why did you stop?
I don't know. I felt like it was time consuming. It was supposed to be like 20 minutes twice a day.
Right.
And I honestly, it would make me really tired. And I know it's supposed to do the opposite. Like it's supposed to like recharge you or, you know, I think I would do it first thing in the morning and then it would, I don't know. I think I just, one of my wellness practices, and this might sound crazy, is like I have the best alarm clock ringtone, like noise on my phone. And it's like Cinderella. And it's,
how do we all get that?
It's just, you know, how you can select a song.
Yeah.
You can make it a song instead of like an annoying beep that like puts you in a bad mood right when you wake up.
Okay. I actually did not know that, but okay.
Yeah. So when you set your alarm on your phone, you can select a song and you can select any song that's on your, you know, in your phone. And so I have Cinderella, A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes.
That's so cute.
And like, I let it play the whole song, like while I'm laying there and kind of waking up. And then I don't look at my phone. Like I turn it off at the end. I don't look at my phone. I wake up my kids. And then while my kids are all like self-sufficient to get ready. And then like, I usually take a really quick bath.
In the morning. Fascinating.
And
what's in the bath? What do you stick in there?
It depends. I'll switch it up. I usually do a detox one more at nighttime, but like sometimes I'll put like, what did I put today? I think I put like a relaxing one, just like lavender. And like, I always switch it up.
Nice.
And I'll do that for like literally like a 5-minute bath. And then I take my kids to school. I don't eat anything first thing in the morning.
Or do you do time restricted eating?
Not really. I used to do that too. I've done it all. Like I used to do like keto and I would only eat at these hours, but no, I just like, I'm not hungry at that time. And then I take my kids and then I have a matcha with Travis. I go straight to his house. We have a matcha and then we work out. And then I have my whole day. I try to eat really healthy. I probably eat like really weird to most people. Like today I had half a grapefruit and like quail eggs. And then I had some lunch.
I love quail eggs, by the way.
So do I. I have hard boiled quail eggs.
I love them. It's like a thing in England to have those little hard boiled quail eggs with celery salt, like as an appetizer. I love them.
Yum. And then like at night, I always do different things. I told you I started doing yoni steams. Those are amazing.
I love them too.
And I like, everyone's been telling me to try them, or I've definitely heard of them from you. And then I just never tried it. And then I recently tried it at Surya Spa.
I love them.
And then I was like, wait, I need this actually at home. And I didn't realize how relaxing it would be. And I speak to my therapist when I do my therapy calls and I do the yoni steam at the same time.
Does the therapist know that you're steaming your vagina while you're talking?
Now she'll know. Now she'll know. And then every night I do this thing too, where I take a hot water bottle, like an old school, like hot water bottle. I have a tea kettle in my room and I just turn it on, put the hot water in it. And I put it under my bed, like at the bottom of my bed, because I used to always sleep with socks. And now I can take my socks off, get in bed, and it's so warm. It's like so comforting. It's like I was just being gone for 9 days and coming home. I was like, I cannot wait to do my hot water bottle. I'm like an old grandma.
Let's take a quick break to talk about one of our partners.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes a new movie called Challengers, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya plays Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who transforms her husband, Art, into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt her husband out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when Art finds himself standing across a net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Tensions run high as past and present collide. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Okay, let's get back to the conversation.
How important do you think rituals are in wellness, like in terms of calming your nervous
system? I think rituals are so important. I think it's important also to take a break from the rituals and be able to come back to them. Yeah.
Because great distinction.
Yeah. Like, and there's so many things we could be doing, right? There's like, we could spend our entire day from morning to night, like doing wellness things. And like, you know, sometimes we have times for more. Like, I've been the last 2 months, just like no supplements. I'm not taking any supplements. I need a break. And then I'll go back and I'll start, you know, taking my supplements again and seeing.
And will you do blood work before you take them again? Like, how do you do that?
Yes. So I'll do blood work. And then I have an amazing, like, natural doctor who will muscle test me on everything and kind of tell me what I need. And I love that, like, reset of starting from scratch and being like, forget everything I was taking and let's just start from scratch. I do think it's so important. And just to, like, be able to go in and out of wellness practices.
I love it too. And I really like that you said taking a break, because sometimes I think we can, it's a way to, like, feel bad about ourselves if we're like, I have to do this, or I have to eat this way, or I have to whatever. And it's like nice to just take a break. I really enjoy when I, you know, have my breaks. Or like, I was really strict with food and everything for like a year because I was dealing with long COVID and mold toxicity and stuff like that. And then I went to Italy and I just ate and drank everything and stopped taking all my supplements. And it was like the best week of my life. And then I was like, you know, motivated to come home and recommit.
Yeah. That's how I am. Today's day one of recommitting.
So what do you, so back on like healthy eating and supplement. Well, if you're traveling too, it's hard, isn't it?
It's hard. Yeah. So now I do really well though. Like, I'm really great at working out even when I'm traveling.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Like, I love to get up, have a matcha and hit the gym, like just like I do at home. But like, yeah, then there's things like, I'm not going to have a protein shake after, or like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to have some Italian bread and olive oil and pasta. Like, I have to indulge, I think.
Yeah, like, you got to give yourself a break. I mean, there's so much joy in life too. You don't want to cut yourself off with this ascetic, rigid, you know, life, even if it does feel good sometimes and like being healthy and stuff like that. I want to ask you a little bit about like blending families. We talked about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. I really think that this is a subject that needs a lot more airtime. Mm-hmm. The step parenting and the blending families. And I just wanted to know what your strategies have been and how it is for you guys. Like, is there a certain approach that you're taking, or what advice you might have for people who are struggling with this topic?
I mean, I think it's, you know, each family is like so different, but then also I'm sure so similar, you know, like there's so many similarities. And I think like doing whatever works best for each situation. I did love what you said to me, which is like, you kind of wished that you had just moved in quicker, or just like didn't take that slow, like easing in. I think you said it was like a year, right?
And yeah, like I kind of wish I had been like, I know this is hard for you guys. Like, fuck it. I love you. I'm going to be a parent to you too. I was so concerned about the feelings of my stepkids and I love them so much. And it was, you know, it's hard.
And yeah, you know, we live a block away from each other. So that's why we're kind of in that place of like, everyone loves their own home. And, you know, it's like, we are a block away. So it's like a nice thing. And then the days when they're at their dad's, like I can always be there. And then I think it's like hard to know what's the right thing to do, and what's the best thing to do. And then like, you know, we're like, well, let's have rooms at each house for everybody. Like, let's make a bunk bed room and let's do all the stuff. So I think we're like taking the steps, but we're also really like mindful of like everyone like also being happy and not feeling out of place. Or
it's difficult balance, isn't it?
It is. We also are not putting a ton of pressure on ourselves to like make, you know, like a forced or like really fast decision. So we're kind of just like, let's just take our time and see what feels best. And also if we found like a perfect home or something like that, I'm sure that we would also just like do that where everyone feels like it's everyone's instead of like, we're moving to your house or you're moving to our house. And then, you know,
that's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what I would say. I would say though, to have the conversations and like check in with each other would be my advice. Cause like, even this morning, like I said to my kids, like, you know, how does everyone feel about everything? Like, I don't know, just to like check in or like, do you guys have any questions or like, you know, just like having those conversations. And yeah, I think also like being a step parent is obviously like a new thing. And I think one blessing is that like we've had a relationship before.
Right. You guys were friends.
We were friends for 8 years and they would come over and, you know, do gingerbread houses and carve pumpkins and all the holidays and stuff.
So I guess what I would like to ask you is in closing is like, as someone who's been in the public eye for a really long time, so I'm going to listen to you, what you say as well. So how do you stay really close to yourself and really like on your own side when you're so heavily scrutinized by the media and people have opinions about you and your family and your sisters? How do you stay sane and whole and friends with yourself?
I think it's like protecting your energy, keeping your circle tight. And like, to me, like I always feel really my best when I'm with the people that I feel like get me, love me, you know, for who I am, and people who remind me of who I am and like get you and know who you really are, like, and what your intentions are and like just who you are as a person, and doing things that feel good and like being aware of anyone or anything that like isn't making you feel good. You know, like at that time, like I said, when I fought with my sisters, like I was really struggling with like filming at that time. And I probably just should have taken a break and like taken a big step back because I wasn't feeling good. And I wished that I would have like had the courage to do that.
And now you would, right? You've learned that lesson for yourself.
Yeah. Just to like really do what feels good. But I think having someone who you can have those conversations with, like I feel like I have conversations like that with Travis all the time, or like if he notices that something isn't making me feel good, if like as a friend, even like pointing it out, you know, to me, like, I hear you say this a lot, like, or recognizing like, oh, I'm on my phone in the mornings and I really don't feel good. Cause I saw this, you know, Jay Shetty, I saw this thing on Instagram that he said, when you look at your phone and first thing in the morning, it's like letting 100 people like in your room, like shouting different things at you, you know? And I was just like, oh my God. Yeah. Like why are the things that I look at on my phone? It's never something urgent. I feel like someone could call me if it was. And so now I don't look until like after I'm done with my kids and dropping them off. And, you know, like then I'll start to catch up with my phone, but like that makes a big difference in my mood. Just like being aware of things like that.
Yeah. I'm going to try that because I get right on it in the morning and I notice that.
Oh, I used to. And it's such a change. And you need to make a song for your.
I'm going to get the dream
alarm clock, whatever makes you feel good. Yes.
And I'm so happy for you that you are in a relationship that A, calms your nervous system, and B, where he notices, you know, those things about you and what's working for you or not. Like that's real partnership and real friendship. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Thank you. I wish I had a Poosh podcast because I have so many questions to ask you.
Well, maybe you should start one.
I know. Maybe someday, or maybe I'll just send you text messages and pick your brain.
Anytime. I'm here for you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's conversation with Kourtney Kardashian. Our joint candle, This Smells Like My Pooshie, is available on goop.com. Thanks for tuning in. This has been a presentation of Cadence 13 Studios. I hope you'll listen, follow, rate, and review all of our episodes, which are available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts.